Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you're in a space where you're just messing around and things are not serious, that's cool, man. I've got nothing against that. But just be honest and transparent about it.
But what if the sex is so good that you want to just keep milking the relationship? Man, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, man. How have you been?
Good to see you is the most valuable phrase in Los Angeles, fact, because you meet so many people, right? It's hard to remember who you met, who you maybe saw somewhere like 5 years ago. So instead of saying good to meet you, it's always good to see you.
Yeah, it's the classic cop out too. If you forget someone's name, they're like, hey, Spencer, how's it going? You're like, good to see
good
you,
to
man.
See you.
Exactly. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening, watching, subscribing. If you're not subscribed, make sure to do so wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, YouTube, Spotify. We do an audio-only Q&A with the guests. It's an extended special version only on the iTunes and Spotify. So hit that subscribe button. Keep leaving that feedback. We know you love. We know we love you guys listening to love this. Fuck. I'm going to introduce our guest. He's a special one, ladies and gentlemen. He is a former monk with over 20 million followers. He's got 4 billion views. He was in Forbes 30 under 30 and has set out on a mission to make wisdom go viral. He's also invented the cannonball. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jay Shetty.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you. Thank
What's up, Jay?
Very kind. I've got to pop these on.
Yes, sir.
Cannonball. What a phenomenal invention.
Very important.
Thank you for the kind introduction.
Of course, dude. Thanks for being awesome.
Ah, thank you.
You live in LA?
Yeah, I just moved here 8 months ago.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm new. So
yeah, you're sort of new.
I'm still using it.
Have you said good to see you often?
I've seen good to see you to a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people have been saying it to me too. And now that you've shared that, I kind of feel like...
Yeah.
Kind of used a little bit.
Yeah, I feel used. Yeah. I feel like people don't know my name.
I feel like people genuinely mean it when they... say it to you though, like, Jay, good to see you.
I hope so,
because it's like I'm looking at you now and it's good to see you. You got beautiful eyes,
dude. His eyes are mesmerizing.
I wasn't expecting that from you, but I appreciate
it. Thanks, bro. Look, I pulled up this picture here actually just so I could point out your eyes. Look at these fucking eyes.
They're real, no lenses.
Look at this guy, bro. You're like a Indian creamsicle, bro.
Thanks,
it's like watching a movie, but it's just eyes.
Exactly.
You guys are nice. I remember when I was young, everyone would be like, you look like an alien or a cat.
Nah, but it's good now.
You look like an Indian angel.
Indian angel, okay.
Yeah, like you could do no wrong.
Did you grow into the eyes? Were the eyes a bit scary when you were younger?
Well, I grew up overweight.
Really?
So at that time, the eyes were the only thing people noticed. People were like, oh, the only thing you've got going for you is your eyes.
Damn.
Wow.
So that was pretty tough.
So in doing my research on you, I did read that you grew up overweight and you often got bullied, yeah?
Yeah, a lot.
So did that contribute to what you do now, your profession on...
And I'm not sure, you know, when I went through it, when I was young, when I was bullied, and I think everyone goes through it in different ways. Mine was for being overweight, and I grew up in an area that was somewhat racist too. So I had that experience growing up in London. But for me, it just made me know who my real friends were. Like the best thing about it was like I knew who really was on my side and who wasn't. So for me, it just drew a clear straight line between who I knew had my back and who didn't. And I loved that separation. So I kind of didn't let it get to me.
That seems like a perspective thing.
Okay.
Because when you're young, I mean, who's trying to fake to be your friend, you know?
Yeah.
I see it now and I'm sure you do too. And I actually have a question here that I was going to ask. When it comes to human interactions, like how can you tell who your real friends are? And when you're young, I feel like it's more obvious. But now that you're grown and me as well, what's the key in identifying who the real ones are in your life?
Oh, that's a great question, man. Yeah, I think about that all the time. And I think one of the big ones is people who have no agendas. Like, no, people who don't want anything from you.
You got an agenda, Mike? Hey, Spence.
Not today.
You got a fucking agenda,
just kind of eating and having this podcast. By the way, I have a quick answer on this one that I think is surefire. Ask a bunch of people who you think are your friends to help you move.
Yeah.
To help you
nice.
Move shit.
I like that.
To help you move shit. Only your real friends will help you move to a new apartment because that shit sucks, dude. And all your fake friends will be like, oh, you know, my grandmother broke her hip on that Tuesday. And you're like, it didn't even happen yet.
So you can just test all your friends now. Yes. Tell all your friends. Just text everyone. Yeah. And go, I'm moving. Moving and see who comes back. Exactly. To you. I love that. That's a great piece of advice.
Here's the cop out. Here's the thing. If they say yes and they're down to help, like, you got to move. You got to find, you gotta right find away. The spot. Yeah.
That's true. Sure. Act fast.
Yeah.
Is that it? Just.
No. I mean, there's a ton more. That is great, though. I really do like that one. So I think the big thing is no agendas, people who don't want anything from you. And I think that only comes out through time. And I think that's the thing. We want to figure out like who our real friends are right now. You're only going to figure out through time. So don't pressure all your friends right now to give you like an ultimate answer. I think the second one is just around who's there for you when things aren't going right. And I'm sure you've experienced this. I know I've experienced this in my life. It's like when things are going bad, who's around, who's still sticking around, who's still messaging, calling, turning up at your home, who's there for you when no one else is watching, right? It's so easy to be there when everyone's watching, like on the podcast, it's so easy.
That gets tricky a little bit in LA, especially with like celebrities, because even when things are going bad for Logan Paul, they're still going pretty fucking good, bro. So he still has to ask that question, you know, like, are these people coming in at what seems like an opportune time, you know? So, but for the most part, I agree with that completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. When, I've said this before publicly, but when everything happened, with, the Japan incident about a year and a half ago, I was surprised at how many people did reach out and was surprised at how much love and support I got versus people trying to distance themselves and stray away from me. Hopefully,
that's awesome,
hopefully it's not the reason you said.
Yeah, for sure.
But maybe it is. But it was a quick way to weed out the week, is what I like to say when we cut ties or whatever it is. But that's awesome. I feel like I've surrounded myself with a good group of people. What do you think?
That's nice, man. Yeah, everyone's been nice to me today.
So far, what's that tattoo on your neck?
It's a microphone. So this was the logo of the magazine, of the Source magazine in the 1990s. I was a huge hip hop and spoken word fan, so I did a lot of spoken word growing up.
Rock the mic.
My work's very inspired by rap and poetry and spoken word.
That's awesome.
Hence, there's a lot of lazy rhymes in a lot of my videos. But yeah, that was that.
No. They're not lazy. You do a lot of wordplay.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I watched a ton of your videos this morning, and I want to like. Relay one, I think I...
Go on, this would be impressive.
No, we spend more time obsessed with things and not in love with people when we should be in love with people and in love with things. I don't know, you do it better, bro.
I appreciate that. But I'm a huge, huge fan of rap, hip-hop music.
Eminem.
I've got a big poster still now of Eminem on my wall because I got through my teens writing a lot.
You ever tried rapping?
A little bit. Oh.
Spit something.
Oh wow, this is like putting me on the spot.
I was
about to roll with it, but
keep it going, dude.
Do you have a favorite song of Eminem's that like really inspired you?
Probably The Way I Am.
Oh,
yeah.
The Way I Am, if you remember it. The Way I Am. It was so real. It was amazing. Yeah.
If you had true rapping talent, and again, we don't know because we never got to see, but would you have become a rapper? Like an inspirational, motivational rapper.
That would be a cool idea. Maybe we should figure that out. Yeah. That would be fun. Maybe I should get some skills.
Who knows, dude?
Make it happen. Who knows?
Who knows?
It'd be amazing.
Yo, did you do something with my brother?
No, I haven't yet.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'd love to, though.
I thought you guys have.
No.
When did you start your ascent on the internet?
So I released my first video 3 years ago, 2016, Jan 3rd.
Damn.
Yeah, that was the first time I released a video ever.
That is quick.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. It's been an insane 3 years. And I only started working on my channels because at that time I was creating a lot of content for HuffPost. So all my content was on their channel. So I launched my channels 2017 March. So it's been 2 years.
Yeah, and Ariana seems to love you.
She's not Grande. When you say Ariana, everyone thinks Grande, but it's not.
Me
it's
on Ariana the brand Huffington. Side. Yeah.
Just put it out there, Ariana Huffington. Yeah. I mean, hopefully Ariana Grande one day will watch my videos too. But Ariana Huffington, if people still know Huffington Post. Yeah. Huge, amazing, amazing woman, was really integral in having my initial launch happen in 2016.
Yep. When you started putting videos out, I feel like everybody was like, who is this guy? How does he put together these messages? These are amazing. What was the process like? And we might dive into the actual monkhood, but what was the process like integrating with society again? Like, how did you come back in?
It was so hard. I came back in 2013 and I'm a huge football fan, soccer fan. I didn't know who'd won the World Cup. I didn't know who the president or the prime minister was. Like, I'd lost touch with a ton of stuff.
So you were
stuff.
Tuned out completely.
I thought I'd kept in touch with the real world and I thought I was in tune, but I'd lost touch. Like, you know, you're living in another country, you're in seclusion, you're meditating a lot, you're doing work in that world and you completely disconnect. So when I came back, I literally spent 10 months trying to figure out how I was going to reintegrate. One of the biggest things was I used to go to the library a lot and read. So I spent a ton of time like catching up on books. I also spent a lot of time catching up on movies and TV shows. So I watched How I Met Your Mother in 2013, which was very late, but I got to binge watch the whole season.
There you go.
Prison Break, I went back to because that was something I left a long time ago. So I was like catching up with TV shows, catching up with movies, catching up with sports, just to figure out where the world had gone. And 2010 to 2013 were pretty defining years. Yeah, like YouTube blew up, the iPhone blew up. Like so many things happened at that time. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, oh my God, I didn't even have a social media
account. Did you have a cell phone?
Not when I lived as a monk. And before
for 3 years?
Yeah.
Logan can't handle that one, bro.
That's blowing his mind.
I will have you know.
I didn't get a cell phone until I was a senior in high school. And it was an NV2. So
okay.
I don't even know what that is. Okay. Nah, it's like, yeah. I was late to the game as well. But and I graduated 2013. So I probably got a cell phone the same time you got a cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So we're twins.
It's like two monks.
Yeah, it's together. Like two monks.
So
yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, ha, ha, ha. We're funny. We're laughing. It's all jokes, right? But I have a premonition that when I'm older and retired, I'm going to move to China and wear a monk outfit. Climb to the highest mountain I could find and just live a peaceful life at the top of a mountain.
Wow.
Okay. With the goats. I've always felt it. I don't know what it is, but I feel like you're going to be like Will Smith. You're going to hit your like 40s, 50s, and just be this dude that's crushing it, just spreading love and positivity.
Bro, because that's what it's about. I want to be Jay Shetty when I'm older.
Oh, I wish I was you when I was younger.
All right. That's tight. So, I mean, why did you get into being a monk? How does that even come about?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. So I never grew up religious or spiritual or inclined at all. I was totally what you expect any teen in London to be. I was doing everything, drugs, sleeping around, multiple relationships, trying to make money, doing everything that you expect. And then every week I'd go to hear a speaker at my university. So where I was studying, they'd always have celebrities, entrepreneurs, influencers at that time coming to speak. And I used to love rags to riches stories. Like I loved hearing about people who went from nothing to something. I was always fascinated. So anyway, one week I found out that a monk was invited to speak. And I was like, I don't want to go. Who wants to go listen to a monk speak?
Yeah.
And one of my friends was really into monks at the time. And he was just like, no, you got to come. And I was like, I'll come as long as we go to a bar afterwards. And he was like, yeah, sure. So that was like my in. I was like, I'm only coming if we're going out afterwards. And he was like, yeah, we'll definitely go out afterwards. So I turn up and here's this guy. He's Indian. He's dressed in robes. He's got an Indian accent, none of which is impressive to me at the time. I born and raised in London. But when he starts speaking, I'm like totally captivated. And I'm just like, wow, like this guy knows so much. He's so wise. He's happy. He looks like he's living a meaningful life. And I was just like, what does he have that everyone I've met, like I've met people with money, I've met people with homes, I've met people with great faces and abs and all the rest of it. I've met people with beautiful partners. Like, what does this guy have? And I realized what he had was he has happiness. Like he was happy.
Yeah. Were you unhappy?
I wasn't. I was like at a place where I had access to a lot of stuff going for me in my life at that age, at like 18. And I was like, things are going for me. I was like about to go off and work for a huge organization. I was making enough money. I had a great looking girlfriend, all the rest of it. Like everything was going in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, this guy made me believe that there was more than that. And I was like, wow.
Was there like one thing that he said that really stuck out to you? Because I got a chance, ironically, to meditate with Deepak.
Oh,
one
wow.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. Deepak's a friend. Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
He's awesome. And, oh, cool. I saw the same kind of things. And I saw this like inner peace that is so visible when you watch him and when you kind of spend time with him. But when I left, I don't think I wasn't inspired to become a monk.
Got
and
it.
I wasn't inspired Got to become it. Like a, I loved it. And I still, from time to time, practice meditation with these guys. But was it something that was said or that he showed specifically that made you think like, wow, this is the route to inner peace and happiness?
Yeah. Well, I found out afterwards that he gave up jobs at Google and Microsoft to be a monk. Yeah. And what he was talking about was the best use of your talents is when you use them to help other people. So when you use whatever talent you have to serve other people, to make a difference in people's lives, whether it's making people laugh, whether it's making people smile, whether it's moving people emotionally, or whether it's doing charity work. I heard you're doing a charity ride
yeah.
in London, which is awesome. Like, I want to hear all about it. Like,
when's that coming, by the way?
It's in the works. We'll see. Yeah, awesome. Maybe we'll see you out there. Maybe we'll get you involved.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I'd love to. Yeah. Genuinely. Yeah. Seeing as it's where I grew up. So he was saying that when you use what you have to help other people, that's when you're going to find happiness. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before because everyone's always talking about getting. And this guy's talking about giving. So I spent from 18 to 22, aged 18 to 22, I spent every summer holiday, half of it in bars, steakhouses, clubs, living the life in London, interning at some of the biggest finance organizations, and then spending the other half living in India as a monk. So I basically was testing both lifestyles to the extreme at that time. And I consider myself an extreme experimenter. And that was one of the most extreme experiments I've ever done, where literally like 6 weeks I'd be living the high life in London and 6 weeks I'd be sleeping on the floor and waking up at 4 a.m. every day. And that convinced me that monk life was good for me.
Did you ever, that's crazy to be going back and forth like that. Did you ever meet the guys, or do you know anything about the guys from Headspace, the app?
I do, yeah. So I never met them. I know Andy Puddicombe. He's awesome. Great guy.
His story is intense. Like he went through all of that terrible, terrible like heartache and what was his sister died?
Something
and his
like
wife
that.
Or his fiance broke up with him or whatever. And he gave up a very similar trajectory to success. He was like a huge agency guy, right? Mm-hmm. In London, I think, right? Yeah. And he became a monk as well,
right? Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
And then launched Headspace, which is now one of the most, you know, successful mindfulness apps. It's crazy to see the similarities between your story, and it's just insane.
Yeah.
It's a crazy story.
Are you would you say you're an extremist?
I believe so. When I get into something, I'm all in. Like I fall in love with it, I get addicted.
Can
absorb.
That ever be a bad thing?
Of course it can. God, yeah, it depends what you're addicted to and absorbed to. So at that time, I was addicted to testing two different lifestyles. One was breaking me, one was building me. And so, yeah, it depends what you're addicted and absorbed to. So, the quality of being addicted is awesome. It's what you're addicted to that's the challenge.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. That's a dope, very accurate soundbite that I agree with. Yeah. Like I'm addicted to content creating, but there was a time in my life where I was addicted to video games.
Wrestling.
I played World of Warcraft and it was horrible. No, seriously, I would sit at my computer and I got kicked out of my guild one time and I was crying on the floor.
And you're still really bad at video games.
Hold on a second. I am a very good builder in Fortnite.
Spencer's the shooter though.
Yeah, my boy's got lasers.
True.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like at the time you saw that monk speak, would you have considered yourself in a rut or unsure of what is to come in life? And then you took a big step to make something happen. A lot of people are afraid to make that big step, afraid to jump into 3 years of monkhood. If you're a kid in Kansas and you're 18, you're unsure what's to come in life, and maybe you're feeling a bit down, questionable about your future, what would you recommend?
My biggest recommendation would be experiment with a ton of stuff. You don't need to go do something for 3 years. Yeah. You can do it for 3 days. Mm. But just go and experiment with everything. Like we've got access to everything now. You could experiment with meditation. You could experiment shadowing an entrepreneur. You could experiment with making content. You could experiment with anything. Yeah. And because we don't experiment with enough stuff, we don't know. That's why we feel unsure. That's why we feel insecure. So my number one advice would be go experiment with whatever excites you or what scares you either. Do both.
I completely agree. That's like one of my biggest pieces of advice. And he's heard me say it a million times. When I was coming out of an addiction that I dealt with for years in my life, the first things I started to do was I saw these things flying around the sky. They were DJI Phantom Ones and like two people had them. Like, and I'm like, yo, I want one of those. And I got it. I started taking video. Before you knew it, I was hired to shoot weddings and I was doing drone flyovers at weddings. And then I bought a Canon.
What are you going to tell us?
All of this stuff.
You can fly drones?
Drones, yeah. What? I had a DJI Phantom 1, a Phantom 2. Yeah. And so, and then I bought a Canon, camera and I started taking pictures. And before you knew it, like I started building up this catalog of things that I knew how to do. And they made no sense. They weren't intertwined in any way. And then I started practicing creative writing. Before you knew it, I knew how to take photos. I knew how to write creatively. And then social media hit.
Absolutely.
And they were looking for somebody who could take photos and write creatively. Yeah. And so it's like, get out there and try stuff that doesn't even make sense. Just anything that makes you happy or feel any kind of passion. I agree with you so much on that.
Yeah, well, your story reminds me of Steve Jobs. Like, just throwing it out there. But like,
Thank you so much.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, the next Steve Jobs. You never know drones. Like, but you look at Steve Jobs, like he studied calligraphy at college.
Crazy.
Right? Calligraphy. And you're like, what's calligraphy got to do with technology? And there's this great conversation between Steve Wozniak, the tool guy behind Apple and Steve Jobs. And Steve Wozniak looks at Steve Jobs and goes, what do you even do? Like, you're not a marketer, you're not a coder, you're not a salesperson. Like, what do you even do? And Steve Jobs goes, he goes, musicians play their instruments, I play the orchestra. And it's just like, he totally knew what he was doing, but he knew how to apply calligraphy to technology. Mm-hmm. And that's my point. Like, you may not recognize what you're studying right now, what you're learning right now is going to help you, but you're going to look back and go, oh, wow, like, I built the iPhone because I studied calligraphy.
So
and he says that, right?
So. One of the trickiest parts about doing that is we live in a school system that makes it very difficult to do that. Like, I think you became, you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Even though you had your friend bring you to that meeting, you still had to go out of your way to personally develop. And I think we live in this system that unless you're personally developing, it's very hard to make those changes. So what do you see the system that we live in, the educational system, affecting that process?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we live in a structure that's putting stuff into us rather than bringing stuff out. And education in Latin actually means to bring stuff out of you. So you've already got talent, potential, genius, passion, whatever is inside, whereas school's teaching you, you need to know this, you need to know that. And I was saying to someone the other day that I fell more in love with English listening to hip hop than I did from my class at school in English, right? Like, I fell more in love with learning about something, playing a video game. Like, video games brought me into travel as opposed to whatever it was else, right? In school, learning geography. So my big thing is, like, make sure that your learning is up to you, right? Your learning's up to you. Your learning doesn't end at school. It's not at school. And all of these things that you have access to today are going to expand your learning. So don't let your learning end at school.
You have You have a wife, yeah?
Yeah, I'm married, man. Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, man. Got married awesome. 3 years ago. Yeah.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. What's that like?
Thank you.
What is that like? What's Must that be nice. Like?
I'm very fortunate. I have an amazing wife. She's known me for a long time, and she's super committed to letting me live a life of passion and purpose. She knows what an extremist I am, and it helps having a wife who gets that.
I imagine she's got to have that supportive trait in her to be married to you.
Massively. Like, literally, like, she told me, she was like, when we get married, she was like, I want to live 1 mile radius away from my mom's home. And so I said, yeah, that's fine. So we had this home in London. And literally 2 weeks later, we moved to New York because I got an offer to New York.
No.
And then last year we moved to LA. But having said all of that, she loves LA. So LA saves LA, yeah. She did not like New York. She loves LA.
I'm on the same page
as
her.
Yeah,
she's got to miss mom though.
Yeah, she misses her mom. But my deal with her was like, I will fly you back every weekend if you let me live my dream.
Is she
gone?
Oh, that's awesome. Are you getting a chance to go?
That's not my assistant. That's my assistant.
Well, I hope you get a chance to go to London sometimes too. Then
why would you just assume that
did I just
girl...
assume your wife?
You did.
Does she get a chance to go back?
She does. We go back like nearly every 2-3 months.
Yeah.
We love that. See, my thing's like, why live a life of, you know, if you can live a life of abundance, live it.
Right.
Can you not see her working, Mike?
Oh, your wife doesn't work?
No, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, because a woman working can't be someone's wife, right? What are you trying to say, Logan? She should just stay home as a homemaker?
No, I'm just...
What are you getting at here right now, man?
I've lost sound.
Simple.
How did you manage to spin out of that one?
That happens sometimes.
Did your sound cut out?
Oh, yeah, I've cut out.
Pull the wire.
Yeah, mess with the wire a little bit.
Do those things when you work out where you...
Oh, there we go. Yeah, got it.
You got it?
Do you ever catch each other getting in each other's way and like have to pull back
in each other's way? In what way?
Like, say you want to go do something and pursue your career. Does she ever get in the way, or maybe vice versa?
So we try to work on a lot of that day one. Like, I literally said the first thing, and this is not good relationship advice, or maybe it is. Let's see where it goes. I literally, one of the first times we met her, I was like, if you want to marry someone, you have IKEA here, right? Or IKEA.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I was like, if you want to marry someone who shops at IKEA on the weekends and goes to the cinema, I'm not your guy. Like, I was just like, that's not me. Like, that's kind of like, you know, the normal life. Like, if you want someone who's going to do this thing on the weekends and build their life around this, like, I have nothing against that. And I respect that and I have no issues with that, but I'm not that person. So I don't want to let you down.
You needed like a queen, dude. Like someone that was there for your journey. Like someone that was going to help support, grow you. And that was just down.
Yeah,
like
I needed someone who understood me because I felt I understood myself well. And I wanted to go all in on what I loved and what I thought was going to help the world, in my opinion. And again, it's my opinion. Yeah. But I needed someone who believed in that and was happy to be there. And same, I wanted to support her goals. I was like, whatever your goals are, I'm going to back them too. And I think what ends up in relationships is we try and get the other person to compromise to love our goals rather than loving their goals. And that was my focus. I was like, how do we love each other's goals and support each other's goals rather than getting you to be like, you've got to leave your life to support mine.
I wrote down a quote here that you just said. Relationships aren't about compromise. They're about empowering the other person to achieve their goals, helping them to grow, become the individual they deserve to become. So how are you helping her achieve her goals? And what are you comfortable sharing?
Yeah, of course. So my wife's a vegan recipe developer. She develops vegan recipes for restaurants.
Spencer.
She's an incredible, incredible cook.
Send me those.
Yeah, incredible recipe developer. She's working on a restaurant right now in London. It's a new restaurant that's launching in July. So she's designing the whole menu. So she's like, wow. The best thing in my life is my wife loves testing recipes in the kitchen.
So you get to eat the food?
I get to eat
the
food.
Seems like a cop-out, Jay. I know. Seems like a pretty easy way to compromise support.
I know, it does. It probably does. But how, no, you know what?
How do you stay skinny?
Huh? How do I stay skinny? I just, it's the Indian DNA. Like, yeah. I think it's like an Indian thing, but.
So you shed the layer from when you were young and now you just, it's just
literally,
stays
no, my wife keeps me healthy. I always say my wife focuses on the body. I focus on the mind. Mm. And that's how we complement each other. Yeah.
Did you say how you met her?
Met her when I left being, well, I met her before I ever became a monk and I thought, oh wow, she's gorgeous, but I'm focused. And I wasn't a monk then. And I was like, I'm going to go off and become a monk. And when I came back, she used to come to my sessions. So when I came back from being a monk, she used to come to all of my sessions where I was teaching mindfulness, philosophy, personal growth.
For personal growth reasons?
Or personal growth
reasons.
Did she
have a crush on Jay?
Both. She's honest about both. We literally just recorded a podcast for this. This was my first podcast on my podcast on purpose. And my first episode is me speaking to my wife about how we met,
how we came
together and everything. So yeah.
So you do talk about a lot about relationships and love.
Tons.
Do you have any advice for like a fuckboy like myself?
I'll take the
How's it going?
I'll take the advice too.
No, How's it going?
I don't know, bro. I just like, oh man. Jay, my attention span is so short. It's so short. And I don't know. I found like a couple girls that are able to hold it, you know, nurture it,
yeah,
and help me grow and become better. This is
yeah,
me.
No, this is you.
This is me, and it just grows, you know. So, have I set unrealistic standards for people, Jay? You think
my thing's be transparent with who you're dating, right? Don't make someone believe you love them if you can't love them.
Oh no,
right?
I just had this conversation.
That's the big one, right? Like that's the big point. Don't make someone believe that you love them if you don't love them, because they won't question you, they'll question love.
Yo,
right?
It's so
they won't
funny,
question you,
dude.
They'll question love. So be transparent with people. If you're in a space where you're just messing around and things are not serious, that's cool, man. I've got nothing against that, but just be honest and transparent about
it. But
that.
What if the sex is so good that you want to just keep milking the relationship, because it is a solid, like healthy, functioning relationship between two people, but also just like the sex is great.
Sounds selfish.
But
if the sex is the only thing holding it together.
No, but it's not the only thing.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's just like, what if you're afraid to turn that key and go exclusive?
That's okay. Take your time. Just be honest and transparent about it.
Yeah.
That's all it is, right? For me, it's just transparency. Relationships get messy when that person thinks that you want to give them more than you actually do.
The problem is a lot of times, like, girls are... a lot of times are rushing. You know what I'm saying? They're just rushing. And so like, even if you say from the beginning, like,
guys too,
some guys,
yeah.
But if you tell them from the beginning, hey, listen, like this is going to go real slow. I can't even promise you exclusivity from the start. Like this is going to take a little while.
Sounds like a brand deal.
It's a brand partnership.
It kind of is.
Co-brand. But like in the beginning, you know, they're like, that totally works for me, man. Like I have so much other stuff going on. I have work and like workout and all that stuff.
Woo.
Week two, they're like,
woo.
It's just like, I don't know. Like I like working out, but I like spending time with you more. And then like week three, they're like, hey, can we talk about something? I know, like, what are we? You know, and you're just like, yo, how did this just happen, bro? Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, sometimes you're very transparent and the and then it becomes translucent and then it becomes opaque, you know, and you've got no idea really what's going on.
So. Yeah. Relationships are complicated, man. Tricky. They're messy. And my best takeaway is be transparent. And then wherever you're at, just, you're going to attract what you're putting out, right? So if you're self-aware, if you know, if you're getting, if you're personally developing, if you're growing more, you're going to attract someone who's got that maturity too. And if you're not, you're going to attract someone who's immature too. It's just it's just the truth of it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sort of.
No, go on. Let's dive into it.
Because I'm pretty immature, but on the other hand, I can also be very mature.
Yeah.
So most of my functioning relationships that have worked are with people who can do the same. Like be an absolute goofball.
Nice.
Just hilarious, fun, nonsensical person. But also talk about intellectual things.
Yeah.
Which is...
awesome. That's a good combination.
It's good. It's just... I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Are my expectations too high? Where, like, I got to find the... I want to find the unicorn.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll come with time. Oh, it takes time,
I
man.
Hope so, Jay Shetty.
It takes time.
You got to set what you want out there and then just... Stick to the course.
Must be nice, Spencer.
You found that Spencer nice girl. In a relationship?
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend, yeah.
She's awesome. Yeah. And she makes noises on those bowls.
Dude, sound bowls. Oh, I love. Bowls. Oh, yeah. Wow. Have you guys done it?
Nah.
She's played. Awesome. She plays it for the whole house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She sits outside and she goes.
It's amazing. You just dive deep,
cooking up stir fry.
Her name's Angel. Like it's pretty simple. Like,
we're working on it here though. I think it's cuffing season soon. I feel it.
Well, a lot of times too. I think he asks these questions, or like even I ask these questions. You know, where I say like, what does it mean? Like, you know, I can't do this, or like I have that. And I think a lot of times it does come back to putting out what you want. You know what I'm saying? Because I think like sometimes I go through this stage where I'm like, yo, you know what? It's time to settle down. Like I need that structure in my life. And then I get the structure. There's no problem with it. Everything's great. Like the structure's there. And then guess what? I don't want the fucking structure. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go to Warwick. It's Wednesday night. I want to see some booties and just like hang out, drink some beers with my friends or whatever. And so it's like, I think a lot of times in life, it comes down to being very clear with yourself of what your true intentions are, you know?
Transparency. And
make it sound so simple.
But it's not.
I'm not saying it's simple.
Do you believe in dating apps?
I don't. Do I believe in them?
Like they do exist.
Yeah, I'm like, they exist.
You think you can find true love on a dating app? Is that the best way to go about
it? I think you can find true love anywhere. I don't think dating apps are excluded from that. My whole thing with dating apps too, and I say this to everyone, I've been saying it to my assistant too, is like, she's on a dating app, by the way, if anyone,
which one?
You know,
which one?
Hinge. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's a little bit more upscale.
Yeah.
I move for speed.
It's got
efficiency.
A nice interface. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's not. Yeah. Anyway.
It looks great.
Yeah. But my take around that is just like move offline, online to offline ASAP. Just get on with it. Like,
safely,
Safely, of course, safely. But you don't want to be sitting on a dating app for like 3 months talking to like 10 different people. And then that person never sees you. If someone doesn't want to see you in the next couple of days after talking to you, why are you wasting all that time anyway?
Yeah.
So I do believe in dating apps. I think dating apps can be a great way to meet people if that's what works for you and you feel you present your personality best. But I think that's the question. Where do you feel you're most yourself?
Mine is not on an app. I'm a person-to-person guy.
So am I, yeah.
And so I still use them. But I think another point to what I was saying before about being clear with your intentions, sometimes those intentions can be like skewed by what you think society wants from you or your parents want from you too. It's like me, I'm an older guy, Jay. I'm 34 and I magically have stayed slightly younger looking, but
yeah,
I thought you were younger.
Yeah. I'm 31.
So, right. So I like to think like sometimes I get into that mistake of saying, well, I'm 34. Like, man, I gotta settle down. This is getting kind of weird or whatever. And it's like, or even, you know, sometimes like we have conversations about his dating too. And it's like, I think for myself, at least sometimes, I think about dating as something that I need to do this. Like my parents would want me to do this, or like society will think I'm weird if I'm not locking down a girl. And so your intentions then get skewed by other people's indoctrination on you.
But
you
that's
know?
The norms, right? Yeah. Like who came up? My big thing with norms is like, who came up with this stuff? Like, sure. Who came up with this stuff? Like, why do you have to settle down by the time you're 30? Why do you have to buy a house before you're 40? Why do you have to do any of that?
Did cavemen have like one, like are humans as a species a monogamous?
Well, I think we love averages, right? Like, we love making everything like, this is the average of when you should do this, and this is the perfect time to do this, and all that kind of, like, we love that. Yeah. Like, we love knowing stats and averages and data. But the point is, you can't live your life like that. Right, if you lived your life as a timeline, everyone would have the same timeline. Mm.
That would suck.
So, yeah, it would be terrible. Yeah. And that's the thing. Everyone's rushing each other with their timelines. Like in my culture, like in an Indian culture, I got married at 28. Getting married at 28 is fairly late. A lot of my friends got married at like 22 or 23. And I was just like, I don't even know. If I got married at 22 or 23, I would definitely would have got divorced like three times. Yeah. And then, you know, it just would have been natural. So I feel like everyone's got to stop judging and rushing their own timeline, looking at what everyone else is doing. Right? Set your own. And it's hard. It's super hard. But if you want to live a real life, you're not going to live it on based on everyone else's timelines.
You talk a lot about the effect that mobile devices have on people and how in some ways they can be toxic to society. I don't need, I'm putting that word in your mouth.
Yeah, but, definitely. Go for it.
Do you think people learn more and can gain more from the phone and the internet and the vast expanse of technology, or through other people?
Yeah, great question. I love this principle that I learned as a monk, and it's, I'll use this glass as an example. So this glass is not good or bad. It can either have water or poison in it, right? You guys could have either filled it with poison, or you could have filled it with water, or you could have filled it with water that looks like poison, or poison that looks like water, either way. But the point is, the glass is not good or bad. It's what's in it, and it's what I use it for. And the internet's the same thing. The online world's the same thing. Social media is the same thing. Like, social media in and of itself is not good or bad. It's what you're using it for. You can go there every day and smile and laugh and learn, or you can go there every day and be depressed and get negative media and news that pulls you down. So don't blame it on the thing. Look at how you're curating your feed, like what's on your feed. What are you learning? What are you seeing the whole time?
I like that thought process. And me and Spencer talk about this quite a bit from time to time. But my only qualm with it is that you would live a rather sheltered life if you were to populate your newsfeed with only positive good news messaging. Sure. Right. And because I think inherently the internet as an average, like you just spoke about, is inherently a negative place. Mm-hmm. I think it has become one. Okay. And I'm not saying that there's not great stuff there. Good news, vibe source, all that stuff that could teach you how to develop yourself. But when you sign on to online, the major news sources, the major media, or even the majority of all media are delivering you, Khloe Kardashian just broke up with her man.
Yeah.
You know, there's Venezuela's having a major meltdown in their country. And so, unless you spend a shit ton of time curating this ultra sheltered, ultra positive timeline, this device technically has more of an innate ability to produce negative energy than you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you really got to work to limit what you're taking in or spend a lot of time making sure you're taking in positive stuff.
Absolutely. And see, that's the mind, right? The mind, because we know from caveman days, because of our protective mechanism, the mind's wired to spot negativity. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, read about this, et cetera.
No, so please elaborate.
So for example, inside the brain, the amygdala is trained to protect itself, because in the past we'd be walking and you'd hear a rustle through the leaves and that would be a snake or a bear or a wolf. And so our brain's been programmed to spot negativity to protect ourselves. So we've got that wired in us. Wow. So right now our brain is amplifying anything negative that comes our way because it's doing it as a protective mechanism. Not realizing that now there's no tiger, bear, wolf, snake hiding in the leaves next to us. It's a negative comment on Instagram.
So it's like an always on fight or flight.
Exactly.
I've read about this.
Always on,
and it's funny because it's like our brains are telling us this shit is not good. It's negative, but we've trained our bodies and our like frontal minds or whatever you want to call it to think, this is the stuff I want more of.
Totally.
And so you've got this battle within your brain. That's one part of it's telling you, yo, this is the shit you don't want. And another part of your brain's just gobbling it up. And I think that goes back to the addiction that you talk about.
There's a line between, you know, being aware of what's going on in the world, but then being consumed by it. I think so many people are consumed by it. So
yeah, I like that.
It's healthy to fill your social feed with positivity and maybe check in once in a while. But then where are you checking in? Because you're saying those major news sources are the negative ones. They're really not that major anymore in the time that we live in.
Yeah.
You have 4 billion views across all your videos in 3 years. I mean, how are Fox News?
Well, I just
CNN,
mean in terms
those...
of news. Like, technically, he's not a news, you know, channel. I mean, in a way,
but
is,
we choose to call that news.
Right.
You know, they're focusing on stories that they could be focusing on so many other positive stories.
Yeah.
There's equal, if not way more, positive stories than there are negative stories.
Yeah,
but they have created that brand, and
the environment,
so I think when you look at the impact of what those brands make, those news brands make, that's really the substance. That's what I really hope people start to tune into, is what impact are these brands making? And that's who I'm going to consume. Who's making the best impact? I'm going to consume this person's content.
Jay, is there any rationale in saying by looking at the negative content, whether it is the XYZ in Venezuela or even the stuff that's going on with the fashion brands right now, is there any rationale in saying by looking at the mistakes they've made and by the media publicizing them extravagantly, we learn and become better as a society because of it?
Massive. That's a great point. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, every solution starts with a problem and every change starts with a problem. The only thing is, we've now got to feel equipped enough and enthusiastic enough and energetic enough to be like, when I see pain, I want to go solve that.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas a lot of our generation, especially, like, goes and looks at pain and goes, oh, I feel depressed. Like, I can't do anything about that. The world's falling apart. Actually, it should have the opposite impact. Like what you're saying, like, we should look at all of the mess and go, I'm going to go sort that out. Right? And that's how some of the most incredible companies have come around. Like, there's this great quote that I've been saying often recently that, you know, we need to redefine the word billionaire to be someone who helps 1 billion people. Because if you help 1 billion people, you'll become 1 billionaire anyway.
Cause marketing has gotten so high. Not to fucking bring it up again, but those are filled with, those sacks that I won't mention are filled with are made of recycled water bottles.
Oh, wow.
And so we just started to introduce recycled water bottles into the fabric.
Oh, wow.
And the founder of the company has gotten slightly obsessed with designing products for life and a battle against planned obsolescence, as he calls it. So every time you buy an iPhone that's literally you're going to be buying another iPhone in the next, 6 months to a year.
Totally.
And every company, even the best ones like Apple, are creating products that don't last and that will end up in a landfill. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think to your point, the smart people, the smart companies, smart organizations are starting to build products that last forever.
Yeah.
And that can deliver something back that has a positive impact on the planet and society.
Yeah.
Where do you see the world headed? I'm always so fascinated to hear from people like yourself that post so much content about these topics. But when we see all this negativity, we see all these things blowing up, where do you see the world headed?
I'm an optimist. So I look at it and I go, I think the fact that, exactly what Logan was saying earlier, I genuinely believe that all of these things have just raised our consciousness and awareness. Like, these things are forcing us to think bigger and better. Like, I'll give an example. Like, when things are all good and well, we just get complacent. Right. And I mean, I'm not political at all, but taking a political example, like, when you have a person you want in charge, you kind of go, oh, the world's going in the right direction. Right. I don't need to do anything about it. As soon as you think whoever's in charge is not doing what you think is right, you're like, OK, I need to be an activist now. Right. So the world, when we're looking at what's going wrong in fashion or the environment or whatever it is, it's forcing more change makers, more change agents to go, I'm going to do something about that. And so for me, I'm optimistic. And believing in the rebel, believing in someone who's going against the grain, believing in that change maker who's going to go and make big differences.
So you believe people are inherently good?
I do. I believe that we are wired for service, but educated for greed. Like, that's how I feel. I feel like we're wired for service. You look at any child. There was this video that went viral a few years ago on Instagram. It was this little girl who crawled up to a television screen in her parents' living room, and the cartoon character was crying, and she got a tissue, a handkerchief, and started wiping the tissue of the cartoon character crying. And if you look at kids, like, you look around, like, I mean, all of us are kids, obviously. Look, kids generally, as kids, want to help each other, want to fight for their friend, want to defend someone, generally, when we're young. And then education makes us believe it's all about us. It's all about me, greed, greed, greed. It's all about being the best, having the tallest tower. That stuff's trained, right?
Yeah.
That stuff's given to us. You're not like that as a kid.
Yeah, we're warehoused.
Yeah.
School is warehousing. Yeah. Fifth grade, no more playing outside. Like you're literally confined to a classroom for 14,000 hours.
Wow.
That's the actual
14,000.
Wow. That's fucked up.
10,000 hours to become a professional at anything. So we should have
professional Gladwell. Students, bro.
Professionals. No, not professional that's, students. That's what they're professionals making, in society.
Yeah.
So, okay. So backtracking a little bit, why I asked if you had a wife is because you don't have children yet.
Not yet. So I don't have any parenting advice.
Bullshit.
I stay away from
liar.
It. I stay
really?
Away from it. Yeah. So I've been very conscious and aware to not give any parenting advice.
Wow. Okay.
Because I believe that until you are a parent, you don't have no idea. No idea.
But surely you have I was just going to ask you what your plan is for educating your kid. Are you going to send him to a traditional school?
No. So I've been researching a lot about schools and this is a great example. I mean, in line with this, I actually believe that more classrooms need to be outdoors. Like, I'm like, when did you ever learn something sitting around in a room? Like, how often? Okay, this podcast aside.
Number one podcast in the world. Impulsive. Like, subscribe.
But apart from a podcast and listening, but all of us, we learn by being outdoors. You learn so much more by like exploring and traveling and learning. So I would love my children to have an opportunity to travel the world and study at the same time and
That's
have
awesome.
That opportunity, because then they're going to meet more cultures. They're going to get exposure to more people with different backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds. So they're not going to have a belief of what success is and what isn't. They're going to get to make their own mind up, because you can't be what you can't see. Yeah. If you've not seen a lot of different things, how can you decide? So I'll give an example. Where I grew up in London, if you made £100,000 a year, you'd made it. Like that was like the benchmark of the people that I grew up around.
Yeah.
For some people, that's like, whoa, I could never make that much money. And for some people listening, they're like, that's nothing, man. Mm-hmm. Like I make that in a day, right? But it's like that expands based on who you spend time with.
Yeah.
So if you're always living in this little cocoon, in this little space, which the world isn't anymore, you're never going to get to experience life. So yeah, I'd want my kids to have multiple experiences. I'd also want them to have multiple role models. Like if I didn't meet a monk when I was 18, I would have just carried on being what I was meant to be.
That's
right?
Crazy.
And so like someone, meeting one person who's different could literally like switch your whole trajectory. And I know that for a fact. If I did not meet a monk when I was 18, I reckon by now I would have been divorced multiple times. I'd have been traveling around the world trying to find out what I wanted to do. I've been wasting a lot of money. Like that's what my life would have been.
It's crazy how that catalyst can come at the most random times.
Totally.
Wherever.
Unplanned.
Man, I'm sure you never thought a monk would change your life.
100%, man. If someone ever told me you were going to become a monk, I would have laughed at them and probably like chucked my bottle of beer at them or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
fuck you.
Yeah.
Do you still go out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go out where?
Like go out to bars, like hang out.
So I haven't drank since I became a monk.
Oh, really?
I haven't. Yeah. So I've been sober for the last, since 22.
So you don't even remember what it's like.
I remember what it's like. Yeah. I remember what it's like. I've got memories of getting drunk off my face and playing drinking games and all the rest of it. But
man, let me tell you, it's
changed.
It could be a good time, you know?
It can be.
Becoming a monk, getting away from that lifestyle. Do you see that lifestyle in a... How do you see it affecting people?
Which lifestyle?
The drinking, partying... You know,
see, I think everyone has to.
That's just a question.
I think the more people.
It's not directed at anybody.
Kind of judging.
That's a question.
Well, he asked because,
it's a question.
Is the occasional, I don't know, mornings where come downstairs at 1 p.m. and Spencer's like, he's already ran a marathon in the morning and my hair's all messed up and I got like a beer belly and I come down like, morning, Spencer.
No, you said yesterday, do not tell me all the things you've done.
I did say that. Spencer's at the top of the stairs and there's like yoga pants and I'm like, Spencer, you shut your fucking mouth.
So you gotta get on my grind. Stay out as late as you do, but then get up as early as Spencer and get the same amount of shit done anyways.
It's definitely not judging. I spent a lot of time in that lifestyle too. I mean, went 4 years of college just partying. But then to me, it like hit me where I'm like, yo, this is not for me. So I'm always interested.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think everyone should experience everything so that they can make their own choices. But your choice should be based on you. I think the problem is people are living lifestyles because of how it impresses other people, right? So too many people are doing things that they don't want to do because it impresses people they don't even like. And if that person goes, oh yeah, you're cool, man. Like you're amazing. Like I love what you're doing. Or, oh yeah, last night you were crazy. Like we're living for that validation. Mm. So if it makes you happy, carry on doing it. Like I'm all for it, but make sure it's your choice. Make sure your choice isn't based on someone else's validation. Yeah.
I feel like it's another situation like you described with the cup, where it's like not like a super clear cut answer. It's like dependent on like what you're, you know, how much you're doing it, what you're putting in it, what you're getting out of it, like you said, you know? So I don't think there's like a true cut, is partying bad? Is partying good? Like some people go out and party and meet their business partners and network and do a great job, like, you know, keeping it under control. And so I think it's
totally,
just,
man.
There's like levels to it. I think it's like a balancing.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think everyone gets to a point in life, like life's kind of like a computer game where you get to a certain level and you're like, okay, I need to stop doing that and I'm going to start doing this, right? And it's just, you want to get to the next level in your life and you're going to change stuff. And if you don't, then you're not going to get to the next level.
Yeah.
You start realizing to level up, I need to let go of this. I need to add this to my life. And that's a personal self-awareness choice, right? Mm. That shouldn't be forced by anyone.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely had those level up moments and I'm sure I'll have more. Jay, do you think money can buy happiness?
That's a good question. So there's an awesome study that says money can buy happiness if you spend it on other people. And I love amazing. It. I love it. So they did this study where they gave people money and they told them to spend it on themselves and half of them, and they told the other half to spend it on other people. And they gave people between $5 to $20. And most of these were college students. So whether you had $5 to $20 to spend on yourself to other people, the three most common things people bought were Starbucks, makeup, and Starbucks, right? So that's what people bought for themselves or for each other.
Did they conduct this study in LA?
No, but it was in the US. Okay. They did it mainly in the US when they started out and in Canada. So they trialed this out and they found that when they asked people how much happier they were when they'd spent money on themselves, bearing in mind these people did not know they were in a study, the people who said they spent the money on themselves, their happiness didn't go up or down. It stayed the same. But the people who spent money on other people, their happiness went up by 10 to 20% at least.
Well, because it's not their money.
No. So then they tested it out. So then they tested it out with people with their own money, where they didn't give it. And then they took it global. So they did this all the way from Africa through the communities which aren't as privileged all the way through the UK. They did this globally and they found the same thing hold true, that we're happier when we're giving, we're happier when we're doing something for someone else. And everyone's experienced that.
Is that subjective or is that like a scientific?
That was a scientific Michael Norton, Cambridge University study. Like that's like.
But what about, I mean, you ever heard like, I'd rather cry in a Lambo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that I don't believe that. I think anyone who's my take's like, look, this is my take. Stuff is great. Like I like nice things too. I drive a nice car. I live in a nice home. I love stuff too. But that if you're pinning your level of happiness on that
stuff,
you are messing yourself up.
I don't want to say it's not pinning it. For example, there have been times in my life where I've been really fucking sad, dude. Which is unlike me. In the past 2 years, like a level of sadness that I'm just like, wow, like, okay, I'm affected. Things are happening. And both times I went out and I sat in my $400,000 car and I swear to God, I was like, I'm being a fucking pussy right now. My life is not that bad. Right. I can get through this. And
see, that's gratitude that changed your life, not money.
Yeah.
I feel like it could have been
other things.
That's different,
too,
man. Yeah. It's not money. It was still gratitude. The emotion was still gratitude.
It was. Because it made me...
But someone could feel that even if they were in an average... My point is, it wasn't the money. It wasn't like you had sat in a bathtub with like dollar bills. Like
he does that too.
Maybe. So I know. I was testing. I was like, I wanted to see how far you
go. No, fuck that. I'm just saying like... Yeah.
It's gratitude, man. You let gratitude change your life, which is perfect. Like you could have played with everyone.
So I'm not a shithead.
No,
you're not. So far, so good.
You could have played with Kong too. It might have made you feel the same. You know what I'm saying?
Like him too, actually.
He's just a dog. Like I think you just use that as an example.
Correct.
Where it could have been Kong. It could have been a meal prepared by your living chef. It could have been a million things. You know what I'm saying? I actually read a study recently about there being like a happiness quotient based on the area of the United States you live in. And so basically, like, I'm from Connecticut and in Fairfield County, it's a wealthy place, right? And so the quotient there was like $88,000 was like the cutoff. And so, or 88 or like 92, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that's it.
And if you're making that amount of money, you're not working so hard your whole life on Wall Street, not seeing your kids, that you're making $350, $400 a year. Mm-hmm. And you're making more than 40 or 50, which are poverty level. So you have enough to sustain your family and your kids. And so they've actually started to produce these numbers of what you should aim to make so that you're not grinding all day. You're able to work on safety. And by the way, it's another average. It's not going to be applicable to everybody, but sometimes they're starting to come up with like literal guidelines around what your aim should be in terms of how much money you make.
And that's a personal metric, right? Yeah, like for some of us, we may say we absolutely love what we do. Like you were saying, I love creating content too. Like I love thinking about content all the time, coming up with new ideas, getting with my videographer, getting with my team, making content, launching a podcast. You know, I love that. Like that's what I get my energy from. So for me, my metric of success is not the same as someone else's. And that's the point, right? It's like, what is your metric of success?
Yeah. Success is super subjective. What is your metric of success?
My metric of success is how many people I can help find their purpose. Like that's my goal. Like how many other people in the world can I help find their purpose? Because I find mine and I absolutely love it. Life is meaningful. It's fulfilling. I work hard. But studies even show that when you're working purposefully, you can deal with more stress and pain than anyone else in the room. Yeah. So if you're working meaningfully and purposefully, you can actually work longer hours. You can actually push your body and mind through extreme situations because you love what you do.
So passion.
Passion, purpose, meaning, fulfillment.
I used to think that my passion was just creating content. And in a sense it is, but something I love more than just creating content is having the content that I create be received that it affects people. That is the win for me, the true win. And that's why I've been doing it for so long. Cause I mean, I often ask myself, if I had graduated college and was an engineer right now, would I still be making videos? And I don't know if the answer is yes, but then again, I'm not sure there was a world where I was unsuccessful on this path because of an unrelenting passion to just provide these things to make people laugh.
Yeah. There's like four massive human motivators, right? Like you've got security. So there are some people in the world who just want security. Mm. They just want things to be safe and secure. And like they're happy as long as everything kind of makes sense and, you know, the gate's on and all that kind of stuff. And then the other one's like
creative.
Then the other one's like creation, wealth. Like they love it when they're like starting something new, they're launching something new. And we all have a bit of this. And then the third one's like what you were saying, like significance. You get your significance from the fact that you create something that made a difference in someone's life.
That's cool.
And the fourth one's knowledge. Like you just love learning. Like there are some people in the world who just get a buzz from learning new things and testing new things. So yours is significance. Mine too. We share that. Yeah. And you guys too, maybe.
The three cancers of the mind.
Yes.
Something you talk about.
Yeah.
Comparing, complaining, and criticizing.
Yes. Well, you've done your research.
Man, you know how I want to prepare for Jay Shetty. I'm sort of using this as like a life coach session. Like, thanks for booking Jay Shetty, Colin. This is good for me.
I hope so.
I have a problem with comparing.
Yeah. Everyone does.
It's bad, dude. Like I've often said, like, I'll always run faster if I look to my right and there's someone there because I feel like I have to fucking beat them and I have to win.
Yeah.
But recently I'm like, that person is ahead of me. I really don't like this. And so I start slowing down. And it affects me.
Yeah.
So any advice on how I can reconcile?
Yeah, definitely. I'd give one simple tip is like, just try go 24 hours without comparing. Literally just like try it for a day. Mm. Like just for one day, just anytime you think about something comparing, call one of these guys up, write a script for something, go out there and do something. Like literally get that thought out of your head and just see how good you feel after just not doing it for 24 hours. Because that's like a very simple test, simple experiment. You do that for 24 hours, you're like, wow, like, I feel great. Like my mind feels amazing, right? I feel awesome. The second thing is, and it's interesting you said that actually when you see someone ahead, it slows you down.
Not always, but it often is sort of demotivating. Maybe it's like, man, I was running so fast. Do I even keep going? Is it worth running the same race?
Yeah. And I think that's when you've got to come back to like why you started.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like come back to like, why did I start? Like, and what you just told me now, like, let me go back and just read some of those comments that are having an impact on people.
Yeah.
Where someone actually told me, like, Logan, this video made a huge difference in my life. This message changed my life. Like, that's those moments where you dig up all of that stuff that usually you'd feel stupid reading, but then you're like, that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it because of that guy, that girl, that person. I'm doing it because of that.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I put out a gratitude tweet not 2 days ago because I was just like, damn, yo, like, This is why.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
That's the same with me. Like, it's the same for me. And I feel that way too. And I do that. And I'll look at a message where someone said to me, like, Jay, I didn't commit suicide because of this video.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, that's why I'm doing
it. We've been getting a lot of that lately because we've been talking about mental health a lot on this show. Do you have a, because a lot of people that watch our show have mental health issues that they're dealing with, whether it be anxiety, depression, bipolar, whatever. Do you have a, a couple actionable tips for today that somebody can do if they're struggling or feeling like they're never going to get out of this?
Yeah,
simple things, maybe.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, simple thing. One thing is find a friend for every emotion. So don't find one friend and dump all your emotions on them. Find a friend who can help you in every emotion. So one of the biggest challenges we do when we're feeling anxiety or depression or stress, we find one friend and we tell that one friend everything, and that ends up pushing that friend away. And that friend's like, God, I can't deal with this.
Because they get stressed.
They get stressed from your stress.
Yeah.
So find a friend, find a guide, find a role model, find someone in your life that's able to understand each emotion well. Right, whichever anxiety you have.
What about the isolators that don't have anyone?
Well, I think the fact that they're listening in, like the fact that we have podcasts, the fact that you have all this online material, the fact that there are apps for mental health, tune yourself in. If you're an isolator, you don't like being around people, tune yourself in to wherever you're going to find those answers. They're there online. Mm-hmm. That's what people didn't have before. And that's super practical. And on a personal level, like literally just, again, with that test, try go a day without complaining. Try to go a day without complaining and start using that energy to find the answer on a podcast, on an interview. Just make that switch. The brain can't physically be in gratitude and stress at the same time. The brain can't be physically in gratitude and anxiety at the same time. So the more you up your gratitude, just making a list of everything you're grateful for, that immediately switches your brain out of stress. It's awesome. It's that simple. Just start making a list of everything you're grateful for.
Another question, I think, for audience people, we have some older people watching the show now, and especially for myself, something I could relate to. You did a lot of big brand and corporate speaking, right? And mm-hmm. trying to help people with issues that impact them there. What's some advice you have for someone who literally is struggling to find any time for self-development? They're grinding the 60-hour work week. They're coming home. They got two crying kids. They're putting food on the table and then they're watching a show and going to sleep. Like what's a piece of advice for them to find the time or find the motivation?
I think the best thing is use your commute, right? Everyone's got a commute. Mm. So if you've got to work, whether your commute's a 5-minute walk or whether the commute's sitting on the train for an hour, everyone's got a commute and that's your time. Put some headphones on, right? Listen to a podcast. Like I know we keep going about the podcast, but it's true. It's like that's something that requires no effort. Pick up a book, get an audio book. Read a book on the train, wherever it is, anything in your commute is such a powerful time. And I've been seeing that everywhere. Everyone's like, I'm listening to this while I'm commuting. I'm listening to this while I'm traveling. That's a great place. And the second thing is you need to start switching, you know, you need to start switching that TV show in the evening for education. Yeah. Because when you escape, you come back to your problems and the problem gets bigger and you have less insight. Mm. When you educate yourself, your problem gets smaller and you have more insight. And we're just escaping. And that is a big switch for us. But as soon as you make that switch, we know that the most successful people in the world choose education over entertainment. It's real. And so you've got to make that switch. If you're watching Netflix for an hour a day or half an hour a day, watch a documentary on Netflix. You can still watch Netflix, right? Yeah. You can watch something else.
And you talk about television at night. They called it TV program because it's literally a program for your mind.
Literally.
And you're programming your mind with whatever you put in. It's like creating a code for a website and that website pops up. It's the same thing with what you're implanting in 100%. Your mind. Every second of content that you're consuming, that's creating your thought process. That's creating your anxiety. Yeah. 100%. That's creating what's keeping you glued down. So 100%. If you want to reverse that, you got to go against the program. You got to program yourself with something healthy.
And it seems like you have to work. I think that's the biggest thing. Like I think
there's no easy magic fairy dust. Like it doesn't work.
Right. I think people get lazy. And I think laziness is probably one of the main contributors to non-productivity and
scared
and,
too.
And that too.
People get really scared. Yeah. They think this is like some huge challenge. Oh, I've waited so long. It's too late. I'm too old. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like that. Like there's so many opportunities for everybody. If you just get in, take a first step, take a move, it's everything opens up. And your excuse to do that and you thinking it's something bigger than it is what's keeping you locked down.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's a choice. I think everyone back at home or wherever you're watching or listening, like, it's a choice. And you're going to have to make that choice at one point. You don't want to be sitting there living with regret, you know? So the choice of pain is hard, but regret's much harder.
Oh, it's so much worse.
So switch to choice of pain right now.
And I think, like, start small too, right?
100%, man. Yeah, start small. It doesn't have to be a big change. I always say to people, small step, big priority. What we try and do in changes in our life is, like, we try and change everything at the same time. So we're like, this week I'm going to eat healthy. This week I'm going to go to the gym 6 times. This week I'm going to do this. And it's actually the opposite. This week I'm just going to do one thing. I'm going to make that my biggest priority. I'm going to wake up earlier. As simple as that. This week I'm going to do a gratitude journal every day. One step. Big priority, right? Simple.
You said waking up early, and I wanted to ask you about sleep. Because sleep is one thing that you can modify it immediately. Mm-hmm. What's your take on sleep?
I love sleep now. So as a monk, we slept 4 hours a day and we were trained to, so that we would build a commitment to meditation. And you get into deeper forms of meditation because now sleep's not acting as a buffer for rest. So you're getting more refuel and rest from meditation. Now I sleep 8.5 hours a night and I love my sleep. It helps me be more creative, helps me be more alert. I genuinely believe too many people are sleeping too late. Most people I know are sleeping after midnight when they don't need to. And therefore, they're getting less quality sleep. Mm. Sleep before midnight is much more powerful for you, much better
really?
For your refuel. Yes.
How come?
So sleep before midnight, it said, science studies show that the hours of sleep you get before midnight almost count as 1.5 to 2 times the quality of sleep that you get afterwards.
Oh, what the fuck?
Right? So, like, when you're sleeping from 12 to 8, even though you're sleeping 8 hours, if you actually slept from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., that 8 hours is going to be strong and more powerful.
Is that based on the cycle, the day cycle, or what is the...
Sleep cycles.
Okay.
Sleep cycles. Just, and I'll give you, I'll tell you why. One of the reasons what happens when we sleep late is, and when we eat late, a lot of people are eating just before they sleep. So what your body's trying to do when you've just eaten is trying to digest. Mm. So your body's trying to sleep and digest at the same time. That's running two different mechanisms at the same time. So another thing is, eating earlier makes you sleep better. There's all these simple things that we're doing that are just screwing us up, basically, because we're making our body do more work. And therefore, when we're sleeping, we're not even resting. Mm.
You just, how long you been in America for?
Moved here 2.5 years ago now.
2.5 years
nearly
ago?
Nearly 3.
But had you spent time here before you came?
I had. Well, I'd visited. I'd been a tourist and gone to Universal and Disneyland and all that kind
of
stuff.
Oh, okay. So now you're really here. What's, I like getting people's opinions who are not here and have watched on from outside of America and live here now. What's the biggest problem we're facing as a people right now in this country?
I was going to start with the good stuff.
What's the best thing we have as a people in this country right now?
People, ooh, I like that switch.
People here love taking risks, and I love that. Like, here, if you have an idea, someone will go, yeah, let's try it out. And I love that. Like, I've loved being here because of that. You know, for me, I've been far more embraced here than anywhere else. And I love that. Then when I came out here and I was sharing what I was sharing, I was just like, yeah, we love that. Like, let's try that out. And if no one took that chance on me, I wouldn't have got to where I am today. So I actually see a lot of good. I think the biggest challenge is apathy, right? Like, looking at something and going, I can't do anything about it. And I think that doesn't align with US culture. Like, that's not what I've identified with the US growing up. I see the US as a place of opportunity, as a place of change, as a place of growth, as a place of innovation. And you look at that, it is that. You look at all the apps we use, they all come out of here. You look at all the brands we use, most of them come out of here. And so I feel like it's switching away from that feeling of we can't do anything to actually, like, we need to own this. Like, we need to take responsibility for this.
Yeah. Is it we can't do anything, or we're too lazy?
It's both, right?
Yeah.
It's both. And that's everywhere. I can't say that's only the US. It's everywhere. It's that feeling of just like, oh my God, everything's too bad. I can't make a difference. And it's like, well, you can make a difference in one person's life. That's good enough.
Yeah.
You can just start there.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. We've been talking about that a lot lately. Helping.
You don't need to change the world. Just change one person's life. You're changing the world.
Or change millions.
Or billions.
To the #1 podcast in the world. I want to go to the audio-only Q&A, if that's
okay,
cool.
Okay, let's do it, man.
Jay Shetty, thank you, bro. Thank you for coming
on
Impulsive.
So much. Thank
Ladies
you.
And gentlemen, Jay Shetty.
Thank you, Impulsive.
Where can they find you? On the social media.
You can find me, Jay Shetty, on every platform, Facebook, Instagram,
Easy.
YouTube.
20 million on Facebook, though. He doesn't need you there. But hit him up on Twitter and Instagram.
That's crazy, bro. That's a lot of fucking
numbers.
People.
Yeah, guys, if you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe. iTunes, YouTube, Spotify. We're about to do an audio only Q&A on iTunes and Spotify, so hit up that audio. We're gonna dive more into the mind of Jay Shetty. Thank you guys for listening and watching.
Impulsive Podcast out. Yo, I want to know about handling rejection.
Let's do it.
Because, Jay, I got to say, recently...
You've been letting people deal with rejection too much.
No, I've been rejected. And it makes me... I enjoy being rejected, but also like, damn. Like, I got friend zoned recently. Mm. I got, like, girls leave me on scene, you know? No, but it hurts my ego, bro. What do I do? What do I do?
What part of you is it hurting?
I don't know, bro. It's just, I honestly, my balls.
It's just a ball ache.
Nah, just like, man, I'd like to consider myself a cool guy. And sometimes people don't think I'm a cool guy. And it hurts my ego. Ego is the answer. Ego, yeah. It's ego. I got a fucking ego. So what?
Yeah, everyone does.
I think I like to tell them
I feel like you always admit, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we all do.
Yeah.
All of us do.
Oh, yeah.
I like how you embrace it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Me too. Yeah, exactly.
I like how you embrace it. Too many people like shy away from that.
No, I don't have an ego.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, I absolutely do. Please don't friend zone me.
I like to tell him he thinks sometimes like that the girl or whoever thinks he's not cool enough. I like to tell him that a lot of times they just think he's too cool. Right. And they're like, what? Oh, we don't want it. Well, it goes back to the alpha thing again.
It's too
we
scary.
Don't want to deal with that shit. Yeah, we want some less cool, safe guy. Like this is the coolest kid in LA.
There was
until
a study,
I moved here.
There
know,
was a study
ago.
Done that showed girls actually like dad bods more than
physically
fit. Oh, it's a huge
lying.
Oh yeah, I never saw that study.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hold on. So you shouldn't let it hit your ego because maybe that girl that friend zoned you was looking for a dad bod.
I'm right here, baby.
Okay, yeah. Mike has a dad bod.
Okay.
Bro, I have a dad bod too, just in shape dad bod. Yeah.
Right.
Like I ain't pushing anything crazy right now.
So maybe
now.
We need to get more pictures of that dad bod out there. maybe that's what's gonna make the difference.
Next IG is like shirtless, just after like a huge like pot roast dinner, and just gonna be like Jay Shetty said this was a good idea.
You know what the study bases that on, right? It's based on the comfort level yes. that women get out of seeing someone that they, because women are obviously very cautious and very worried about their body and the shape of their body, and so when they see a man who's a little bit more lax about the shape of their body,
they want a daddy.
Well, I think the thing is, look, no one likes getting rejected,
right?
So if anyone sits and goes, I love getting rejected, I love it when things go wrong, I love it when someone says no one does, like, let's be honest, right? Like, no one loves failing or getting rejected.
What about sadists or like people that like being hurt?
Yeah, but still rejection's even more than hurt, right? Like rejection's like an emotional pain, right? Because it's kind of like, you don't agree with this.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not feeling connected to me or this. You're not agreeing with this. And I think that's a big deal. So I think are we waving right now?
Yeah. she didn't want us to. She wanted us to keep going with the conversation. Sorry, Jay's fake wife. I apologize.
I'm gonna download Hinge after if that's cool.
It's a great. It's a much more. It's
I'll
a.
I'll see
much,
you on there.
It's a much more upscale app. I was saying before I go for speed and efficiency. So I'm a Tinder guy. It's just I can get through a couple thousand swipes in a day. I don't have to read bios. I'm just basing it simply off the shape of the face, or whatever. But you should hop on a couple LP.
Self care. Jay.
Yeah.
talking about self care.
nice transition.
Sometimes you just gotta do it, bro.
Yeah,
because it's called impulsive. We never get anywhere if we
got a lot to cover. Yeah,
it's
true.
Yeah, self-care. I mean, it's the biggest talking point right now. I think too many people were hustling hard, too many people were pushing too hard, too many people were burning themselves out, and then realized, oh wow, like this doesn't last. This doesn't last. Yeah. Like, how long are you gonna work that hard? I've worked for the past 2 years of my life while I've been doing what I was working 7 days a week. But I was like, that's not sustainable. I can't do that. But I was doing 7 days a week and meditating for 2 hours a day still. Mm. And so I was making sure my self-care was a big part of that. And I think that's the big takeaway. If you want to be successful, you want to be rich, whatever you want to be, if self-care is not a part of your routine, if self-care is not a part of your day, you're not going to last more than a couple of years. And I think that's where the kind of awakening around self-care has come from.
What does that mean to you, self-care? Like, what are you doing personally?
For me, it's meditating every day. Like, that's a huge part of my self-care. It helps me be more creative, helps me be more settled. And most of all, reminds me why I do what I do. Mm. When I meditate, I keep going back. I'm like, it's not about the money. It's not about brand deals. It's not about this. It's about making an impact, right? So it helps me connect with that why. Another piece of self-care that's awesome for me is I love getting away with my wife. So we've been making sure that we take a weekend off every month and we disappear, even if it's close by.
That's awesome.
Right? Even if it's somewhere super close, we get away for the weekend. I switch off. I don't look at my phone for 2 days. I just get to be.
That's awesome.
Right? Have you spent any time with Gary Vee?
I have, yeah. Gary's a good friend.
So he's someone that worries me as a burnout, like potential.
But he's big on self-care. You just don't see it
as much because he's always grinding.
He made a shift.
Yeah, he made a shift.
He made a heavy shift.
Okay. Yeah. You see the difference in his pictures from a few years ago. Exercising is massive self-care.
Yeah.
So, right? Just hitting the gym, and I'm not saying about looking a certain way. Right, you can still get your dad bod, right? You can still keep that.
But just getting your blood moving,
like movement, exercise, huge. Like for me, that was a big thing. Like I was someone who focused on my mind for so long, but I realized my body wasn't catching up with my mind. So last year, I got a personal trainer, I got in the gym. Hasn't made any huge aesthetic changes, but I feel much better because I'm exercising every day.
For me, exercise, I can do nothing all day, but as long as I've exercised, I will have felt accomplished.
Absolutely.
Which is really, really awesome. Huge.
We do self-care Sundays too. We kind of just kicked this off because we'll do 7 days. A lot of times it's 6 days, but if something pops up on the seventh day, we're working it, right?
Sure.
And so now we're trying as a household to kind of be a little bit more mindful about these self-care Sundays. So I'll go get a massage. I'll go sit outside for 20 minutes. Like any of that kind of stuff. And then furthermore, we all three of us in this whole house works out every single day. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one thing besides trying new things that I talked about before that was paramount to my personal recovery was just working out. Either working out, riding a bike, running down the street, playing frisbee, anything, just get out and be active.
Yeah. And then the second level, like that's the physical level. It's like getting your massage, eating right. That's a huge one. Yeah. Huge eating right. Exercising, all that kind of stuff. And then this step level is, let's do a mental audit. What kind of thoughts am I letting into my head? What are the conversations? How do I speak to myself? Right? Like, what are the conversations I have with myself? Are they negative? Are they positive? It's getting into that mental, emotional state. Like, that's step up.
I think in order to really achieve that step, like what you do every month is getting away, unplugging.
Yeah.
I think a big thing is ask yourself, when's the last time you unplugged for a whole day?
100%.
A whole one day, 24 hours.
And I take a month off a year. We just spent the whole month of January.
That's a subliminal comment to Logan again about unplugging.
Spencer, I just have thoughts on it.
And we've had this discussion.
Yeah, we have.
Spencer's like, yo.
There's a lot of subliminal messages here.
We're roommates. Yeah, so we're always together. Yeah. We have lots of discussions. And Spencer, he's like, yo, I challenge you to put your phone down for a week. And I've done that. Multiple times, and every time I do it, it's like, wow, that was incredibly easy, and I'm extremely behind on work now, and I've fucked myself. Like, bro, I'm serious. I got a phone when I was 18. I followed like one person on. I still honestly, I don't really give a shit about social media. I just like making stuff, and so it's very easy for me to just be like, all right, I'm gonna go live my life. But unfortunately, my life revolves around the mobile.
Yeah.
So yeah. Fuck!
My thoughts on that are I agree with you and I agree with Spencer. I think there's daily, you should have daily times. I don't think it's healthy for anyone to take a week off. Like, yeah, I'll come back. I'll have no job. Like the show, everything will not super healthy.
Well,
but 4 hours a day where you don't look at your phone, you don't watch a screen, you don't interact, like you just talk to people.
Why don't you fucking let Jay talk, man?
I'm done.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm going off of what you're saying, that there's a way of making it super simple. Just don't look at your phone first thing in the morning. That simple.
Oh no.
Right?
I always do that. That's the biggest
one. In itself will change everything because you're looking at your phone. Imagine you would never, I mean, you can tell me if you guys have ever done this, maybe. So maybe this won't apply, but we'll try. You would never let 100 people into your bedroom the moment you wake up. Making sure you've never done that.
I won't do it.
Okay.
I won't do it.
All right. I'm just making sure. You would never let 100 people walk into your bedroom the moment you wake up. Why the hell would you let 100 messages or more let into your mind the morning you wake up? Your mind is still trying to wake up, just like your body. Your mind is still trying to wake up. And when you let all of that energy rush in, you literally are squashing your brain's ability to deal with pressure, deal with stress and everything.
Or to set goals, or to do anything.
Or to focus your attention, anything. And so my big advice is don't look at your phone first thing in the morning. Give it at least, I mean, like for me, I give it 2 hours. Give it at least half an hour. Give it an hour. Like, just give your mind that time to get, like, your mind's not a Ferrari, right? It's not going to get into 0 to 60 in however many seconds. It needs time to warm up. So let that happen. The second thing is, I made a rule, like, generally try and don't use your phone in the kitchen and the bedroom because it's more fun to eat and sleep with people, right? So remove, set zones in your home where you don't use technology, right? Just zones, just areas where you're like, okay, we don't use our phone in that space. And that really helps because it disconnects you. So I'm on social media all day too. I get it. It's part of my life too. But I know that in the evening before I'm going to bed and in the morning when I wake up, those are times, what you said, that I'm not looking at it. Those 4 hours a day, those 3 hours a day, those 2 hours a day, half an hour a day.
The morning is the big one. Yeah, that's, I just keep hearing about it from every research scientist, every study, because like for me, and I know for him, and I would assume for you too, it's like this, eyes open, immediate. It's not like, it's not like grab a water, it's not go take a piss, it's wake up, boom. You some, most of the time, unfortunately, it's to shut off an alarm that's on your phone, and that sucks because now you're already fucked because you have a thing in your hand. But like, hot, so maybe you get an alarm clock.
Danny,
get
buy us alarm. All analog yeah. alarm clocks.
The house. Real alarm clocks are going through the roof right now on Amazon
because of these studies.
Because of this
right?
stuff, yeah, absolutely, wow. yeah. Timex, I think that's the brand. Yeah.
But I mean, you can definitely self-discipline yourself too. Just like replace that with meditate. Just sit down and actually knock out your meditation right away, and then you're getting your day started.
I agree, but I also think based on like what he was saying before with like small steps, like we are physically exercise. And mentally trained to literally grab that phone and spend the first hour of our day laying in bed looking at shit that literally doesn't fucking matter to any of us. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's complete and utter bullshit. I yell at him all the time because he does this thing that I call consuming shit content. It goes by elephant riding on a tank, a bird flying down the street spitting on a swan. Like it's just scrolling. And I look in his eyes and it's just this dead stare in the phone. I do it too.
We all do it, man. I do it too. Yeah.
But it's like, how do you not do that?
Yeah.
Or at least start
small. And that's the big part. I remember when I first tried to develop this habit and it was in London, I literally used to lock my phone and my laptop and all my technology in my car outside.
Nice.
And then I got a real alarm clock. And now I've trained myself to wake up without an alarm clock. So I sleep the same amount of time every day, no matter what time I sleep and I wake up. But the point you can do is have a real alarm clock. It's a perfect change, right? It will change everything. It will change everything. Get a real alarm clock. Lock your phone away. Don't look at it.
That's great advice. I am going to attempt to do that.
What was that?
It came off from here.
It just hit me in the face.
Technical difficulties. All right, yo, let's end there. Buy a real alarm clock, kids. And don't use your phone in the morning. Jay Shetty's advice. Thank you again, bro.
Thank you, man.
It was a
pleasure meeting you. Yeah, all of you guys, man. Thank you so much.
Hit that subscribe button. Impulsive Podcast, the number one podcast in the world. Take it easy, fam.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.